Good evening. This is Archdeacon Steve West, the parish priest of St. Barnabas Parish in the Anglican Church in the Diocese of Trinidad and Tobago. I welcome you to reflection on this second Sunday in Lent, Year B. Our readings today, Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 to 7, Psalm 22, Romans 4, 13 to 25, and the Gospel of Mark chapter 8, verses 31 to 38. Let us pray. The Lord is here, and we will praise him. The Lord is here, and we will worship him. The Lord is here, and we will trust him. The Lord is here, and we will honor him. The Lord is here, and he has called us to give him all the glory. Amen. Almighty God, King of all creation, sovereign over all things, you hold the universe in the palm of your hand. Enable us to keep our hearts fixed on you and our minds on your truth, for we have come to worship you as Lord of all. Amen. Lord, you are the God of truth and grace. You alone know all that is in our heart and minds. You know where we have fallen short of living lives that bring you glory. We come to praise you for the promise of new birth. We pray that we may all have the joy and power to begin again in Christ's name. Amen. Let us pray. We pray the collect for the second Sunday in Lent, followed by our parish prayer. O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word, Jesus Christ, your Son, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Our parish prayer. Gracious God, you sent your only Son, Jesus, to be for us an example of godly living. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to treasure your creation, that we may be his faithful disciples in our time and place, making disciples of all nations, sharing his words with all who need to hear them, and helping our brothers and sisters to experience life in all its fullness. All to your honor and glory, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our reflection today is entitled, Who Wants to Suffer? Who wants to suffer? If we are truthful and answer the question, who wants to suffer? We will probably say, no one. No one wants to suffer. Suffering is uncomfortable, debilitating, painful, and can even lead to death. We could easily conclude that no one in their right mind will choose to suffer, especially if it leads to death. However, that is exactly what Jesus did for us. In the Creed, we affirm that he suffered, died, and was buried. In our Gospel today from Mark 8, verses 31 to 38, the disciples of Jesus, through the confession of Peter, declared Jesus as the Messiah. Jesus asked his disciples directly, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter responded on their behalf, "You are the Messiah." Mark 8, verse 29. A close examination of the Gospel of Mark would reveal that Peter's confession was a turning point in that gospel. The healings, exorcisms, and miracles that are prominent in the first part of the gospel come to an end, and Jesus begins to focus on his disciples, preparing them for what will take place in Jerusalem. Jesus begins to teach them about the true meaning of messiahship. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. Mark chapter 8, verse 31. Jesus begins to speak openly about his journey of suffering. Jesus predicts his suffering, death, and resurrection, the first of 3 times in the Gospel of Mark in verse 31. Since the disciple is not above the master, but it is enough for the disciple to be like the master, Jesus sets his disciples straight about what they should expect as his followers. Jesus does not hide anything from them or from those who, like us, would wish to follow him. If any want to become my followers, he said, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. Deny yourself. Not focus on who you would like to be or think you are, but focus on who a disciple of Christ is called to be. A disciple of Christ is called to be a servant of others before self. A disciple of Christ is called to be a messenger, carrying the good news of Christ to all. The disciple of Christ is called to be a lover of all of God's people, someone whom the world would certainly be against, someone who the world would attack and cause suffering and pain and even death. As we would expect, the disciples, as represented by Simon Peter, have difficulty in accepting the idea that their beloved master is going to suffer, and worse than that, they will suffer as well. Peter therefore takes Jesus aside and rebukes him for talking about suffering. Jesus responds with a serious, pointed admonition of Peter. Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Mark chapter 8, verse 33. Peter is probably astonished. He has difficulty in understanding that as part of God's plan for the redemption of the world through God's Son, this part would involve suffering. He cannot fathom God's wisdom. It is beyond his understanding, his comprehension. As we follow the story of Jesus in the Gospel of Mark, we find that unfortunately, the majority of his disciples never come to fully accept Jesus' suffering. They all, with the exception of John, abandoned Jesus to his fate, and he dies in the company of the woman and the disciple whom he loved, all standing at the foot of the cross. He was forsaken by his closest disciples. It took a Gentile centurion, a non-disciple, to understand and affirm in his suffering who Jesus was. The centurion said, "Truly, this man was God's son." Mark 15, verse 39. If the way of the Messiah involves suffering, surely the way of his disciples will also involve suffering. You cannot be on the side of God in warfare against the world and not experience suffering, physically, emotionally, or spiritually. Jesus, the Son of God, experienced all to save us from our sins. The disciples did follow the way of the Master. All of the 11, remember, Judas killed himself. All the 11 except John suffered martyrdom for their faith. In the end, they all carried their cross to their death following Jesus. John carried his cross in exile on the island of Patmos. In our epistle from Romans chapter 4, verses 13 to 25, Paul argues that we enter into a right relationship with God on the basis of faith. It is that faith that enables the disciple to fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil, and endure the suffering that being a disciple of Christ entails. Paul himself suffered tremendous persecution for the sake of the gospel. As the apostle to the Gentiles, he was run out of synagogues, towns, and villages. He was rejected, he was stoned and imprisoned for the sake of Christ. He understood what denying himself and taking up his cross meant. As disciples of Christ today, are we ready to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus? Are we prepared to subject our will to God's will and do what God desires us to do and go where God desires us to go? Our church invited us to be intentional disciples, not disciples by accident or by chance, but deliberately and intentionally. We are to take up the life of denying ourselves intentionally. We are to take up our cross daily, deliberately. We have the assurance that Christ, our Lord and Master, is with us. He says to us, "In this world you will have troubles, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." As disciples of Christ, we have the assurance that Jesus, as he overcame his suffering and death, we will also overcome the suffering of this world and emerge victorious over death. What we need is the faith of Abraham. We need to ask God through the Holy Spirit to give us the faith to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and follow wherever our Master, through the Holy Spirit, leads us, trusting in his goodness, having his courage and his love to enable us to overcome any barriers, any obstacles, any challenges that this world will place before us. In our desire to be true disciples of Christ, let us make the words of the hymn writer our prayer. Oh, for a faith that would not shrink, though pressed by many a foe, that will not tremble on the brink of poverty or woe. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, who in your wisdom has so ordered our earthly life that we must walk by faith and not by sight, grant us such faith in you amidst all things that pass our understanding. We may believe in your fatherly care and ever be strengthened by the assurance that underneath are the everlasting arms, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Lord, our Heavenly Father, you order all things for our eternal good. Mercifully enlighten our minds and give us a firm and abiding trust in your love and care. Silence our murmurings, quiet our fears, and dispel our doubts, that rising above our afflictions and our anxieties, we may rest on you, the rock of everlasting strength, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Help us, O keeper of faith, to keep the faith entrusted to us. Faith in a world worth saving, faith in a dream worth sharing, faith in a heritage worth keeping, even as we reinvigorate it to have meaning for us now. Help us keep faith in you. Help us not lose faith in ourselves, for faith is the substance of our hope, and hope the assurance of love. Praise to you, O Heavenly Father, now and forever. Amen. As our Savior Christ had commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. Let us pray. Keep this your family, Lord, with your never-failing mercy, that relying solely on the help of your heavenly grace, they may be upheld by your divine protection through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And may God be above you to protect you, before you to guide you, beneath you to support you, within you to give you his peace, this night and forevermore. Amen. And we pray that you will have a very holy, reflective, spirit-filled week that will draw you into a closer relationship with God and help us to truly become intentional disciples of his Son, Jesus Christ. Obey the regulations and please be safe.